brother. We'll be in Romans chapter 14 tonight. We're going to take a look at the back half of Romans 14. We started the first half several weeks ago and looked at some of the lessons there, helping people along in the faith and helping the weak in the faith, helping the young in the faith, and talked about some of the different things. Christianity is an interesting thing. Nobody owns Christianity. It is the Lord Jesus. It is not. You can't say this is the only. This is then. You can't do it. Some people have tried and they mess some people up. And it's real important to. And then the other thing is, you look at somebody just because they're maybe older in age doesn't mean they're older in the Lord. Maybe younger in the Lord. You don't know. So you have to really meet people where they're at, figure out where they're at, and then help them from there. You get some young people and you think, oh, there's the young person. They know a lot about the Bible. they've been taught well. They understand some things. And so it's always fun to when you meet people and you talk to them about that, or sharing the gospel with somebody or somebody at work, and figure out where they're at. But everybody's in different spots in their walk. The Bible says in verse number 12 is where we finished up. It's talking about the count that we're going to give to the Lord. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. We have things to look forward to, Lord, for the end of the service. I pray that you'd just still our hearts here for this time that we have now to look at this passage of Scripture, Lord. And we thank you for it. Pray that you'd use it in our lives. Father, we love you. We're so thankful, Lord, for our country. And Father, we pray that you help our nation tonight. And this week, Father, we do pray for the unrest in many of our cities. And Father, the upheaval that's going on. We do pray, Father, that you would work in hearts. Father, help love to be shown. Lord, we ask that you would use Christians, Father, in this day. And Christians would be used, Father, to bring about change that would glorify you. And we love you. I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm glad if I ever have to... We see here us, himself, us and himself. Somebody else doesn't have to say, well, this person did this or this person. I had to answer for myself the things that I've done. I mean, when I taught school, you'd get these, oh, so-and-so did this. And I just never, we had demerit pads, right? So you'd write demerits and you'd say, oh, you get a demerit for this. I hated writing demerit pads. It's paperwork. Hated paperwork. And they'd hear about such and such teacher that worked, and they had a big old fat one they carried around. There's a guy who was an ex-police officer, and he worked in the learning center, and he just like handing them things out like parking tickets left and... You want to quiet the room down and you start handing those out, you know, and it could be whatever, you know, write out the whole Old Testament or give me 1,000 laps around the property or whatever it was, you know what I'm saying? Nothing like that. But there was these things where I always just wanted to take it out of their hide. Usually it was the guys. Usually you never had trouble with the girls. Girls that age, you just kind of stare at them like, hey, please, settle down. Guys just start filling their oats a little bit, start popping off. And the PE's at the end of the day, pal, will not forget. You and me, you know, will not forget. But you would have these, so-and-so did this. Oh, that's it. Off with the head. No. No. You'd go and find them. Let me hear your side of the story. Tell me a story. And sometimes you got a really good story, depending on what age they are. But they got to speak for themselves. This is kind of a scary thought. Is answering to God for the things that we've done. This is where you want to make sure your motives are right. You're saying, Keith, and you say your name, why are we doing this? Well, we hope somebody noticed. We get a pat on the back. No, 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 that's not good enough. Why are we doing this? Do we want to make God happy? Oh, this is our motive. And you start making that the reason why you do things. Not, well, and I hope it glorifies God, and we tag it onto the end. You want to make that the mission. I'll glorify God. The things that I do, the choices that I make, will make this day a whole lot easier. A whole lot easier. That being said, it is us. It's you. We draw that circle around yourself. I got to answer for me. You got to answer for you. And again, this isn't about your sin. This is about being saved, being in Christ.
the things that we've done. What have we done with Jesus? What have we done? How have we conducted our life? I bet $100 I saw Mrs. Warman the other day out in Palmer, just shuffling around. Little Mrs. Warman that was around here for a little bit when Reuben was coming before he passed. And just shuffling, I just thought about, there's a cabinet downstairs full of VBS material that she'd take to the village and do vacation Bible schools. And I just thought, bless her heart, Mrs. Warman. How do you spend your life? What do you do with your life? 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Why? Because we aren't going to answer for one another. We're going to answer for us. We've got to answer for us. And it's so important. Young people, have you ever gone to your parents and we talked about this morning. Have you ever ratted out your sibling? Said, oh, so-and-so, they didn't do this. They didn't get this done. I remember specifically, Mom, you said this shall be done. And you may not have, you know, told on them. Right? Here he's saying, you know what? If we do the right thing, and then we encourage others, hey, you know, if I ever caught one of my children doing this with their siblings, hey, I got mine done already. I'll help you. I'll probably fall over, people. I resign, leave. I'll be like, I'm selling this to the world, wherever it is. We're gonna bottle it and sell it because this is amazing stuff, right? I got one initiative. I got all mine done, and then two. I'm looking out for others. I'll help you. I'll encourage you to do this at a young age. No coaxing, no bribes, not getting paid off with nothing. And helping that person along. Oh, man, that's awesome. But I'm telling you, that kind of attitude in the world, it goes a long ways. What are people quick to say? It's not mine. It's not mine. I didn't do it. Yeah. We get it. Unattached. Don't want to be involved. Don't want to touch it. Don't want to be seen with us unsightly. All this stuff. But what we need in the world, say, look, I got mine done. I'll help you. I'll show you the way, right? I mean, we're in the post office on Saturday. We're in the post office all the time. I have one lady's on vacation. Bless her heart. Those people never get a day off. They get today off, right? They're always in there working. One lady takes the day off, and that place backs up to the wall, like all the way back. I'm like, man, where's? Oh, she's on vacation. I'm like, well, praise the Lord, she got to take a break. I mean, man, alive. So we're back there, and the bad thing is that you get in the wrong line, right? There's just a pickup line. Typically, there's not. There's a Dutch door in our Palmer post office. And you can go in. And that's where you got a yellow slip with your name on it. And you're just picking up a box. All you're doing is picking up, right? Got a slip. Picking up. Well, you think that the line's going to the inside because you got to pay for a package, right? So this person gets in line, waits all that time, and gets in the wrong line. And it's just, and then, right, closes it, I think, at noon on Saturday. You know, you got all these people showing up at 11:50, you know. Well, you hit this big old line, and well, I had one guy just helping out, directing traffic. As soon as people came in the door, none of my business, sir, none of my business. He's like, are you just picking up? He's like, no, but I was like, well, you want to go this way. And there was a sign there, but I mean, it was nice. It was like, wonderful. Somebody just watching out for somebody else. But we've gotten into this mask up, eyes down. Scaring around. I saw a headline today where it said, doors closed, halls quiet, masks on. That's the White House right now. I'm like, oh yeah, of course. Basement occupied. Amen. No, just kidding. The White House doesn't have a basement, but now it does, you know. And he's down in there, hiding, right? You're not looking. If your eyes are down, you can't see somebody else's eyes. When you see somebody's eyes, you can see that they need help. You can see if they're panicked. You can see all these things. And you can be a help to them. Versus like, oh, I don't want to mess with this. Don't want to do that. Bible says 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. If we're not judging them, we have so much time and room to help them. We can help them. Oh, I'm going to judge you for helping that person, Brother Keith. No, he's not. He just said, help that person. Well, I'm squeaky clean, but this person over here, help them. Help them. Unbelievable. We just watch all that. There's people throwing mud on each other and, oh, this and there, this and that. Help them. Right? Some people have never been educated. That makes them ignorant. Right? We can call them a name, label them, put them in a category, and not even care about them. Or we can Help them, right? Listen to them. Not try to overshout them, not try to over this them or that them, you know. And people, I mean, they're ignorant. There's people who are just saying crazy stuff. Nuts. Bible says 13, judge this rather. No man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Right? Oh, that's real serious that you're, wow, and we pass judgment on somebody, and they think about, how does this person think about me? Who should they be thinking about what God thinks about this thing, right? And it's tough. You get in some groups and some circles, and they think, well, if you do this or do this or this, you must not love Jesus, and it's just not true. Everybody's individual, and you do something for this reason, you do something for this reason. So there's verses in the Bible, back to back, and you look at them and say, but those contradict. No, they don't. No, they don't. But I'll say this, every day's not the same in the sense you may do this one thing this day. You may be turning around doing this other thing that you thought you'd never do because God asked you to do it. And if you're not getting your leading from God, how are you going to know whether it was right or not? Because you're going to say, well, I've always done it this way. I'm never going to do it another way. Set the knob, bust it off, glue it, right? Back when we had a radio, before we had aux cables and everything else, right? I mean, it's just everything's the digital thing now is that young people, there was radios, and they were in our cars, and kids are looking at the dash in the truck. There's still the tape slot in there, you know. I'm like, what's that hole in there? What'll fit in there? And all kinds of stuff can fit in there. Don't put stuff in there. The holes were bigger back in the day. We'll just leave it at that. There were bigger holes, right? And we go around and we're looking at people, we're not helping them, judging. Judge this rather, no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. There's a way. We got to get there. We're on a path to Christ, to the Lord. We're walking with Him. And the last thing that God wants us to do is to get somebody out of the way or to stop progress towards the Lord by something that God never asked you to do. It's nuts. Why would we do that? Why would we put a burden that somebody's hiking, they're doing this, and you just walk up and throw a rock in their pack, like, there you go, now you'll be a real hiker, right? And no need for that. It's just heavy. It's a burden. You're like, oh man, this arm wasn't cut out for this. Oh yeah, if you're real tough, then you can do it, right? No, help them, right? Jesus said, take it, pack it. We'll only have to pack it so far. You pack it as long as I ask you to pack it. I mean, it's the idea. When Jesus taught the lesson on second mile Christianity, he stopped the second mile in the pages of Scripture. But he says, go along as far as God have you. Help this person. Well, the Bible talks about winning souls. He that winneth souls is wise. Do you think that takes place in 30 seconds? Or do you think it takes time? I think it takes time. If you're trying to introduce somebody to God so they have a relationship with God, that's going to take time. Anybody I care about in this life, I've spent Uber's amount of time with. I was all ready to go to Pasco last week. I had a friend that was sick, and I said, look, if you're not out of your bed by this day, I'm coming and I'm going to sit outside your door. Then why? I'm just going to. Let him know that I care. I've spent Uber's amount of time with this man, and I care. Not this, well, I thought I met him once. No, it's a relationship. And so you want people to learn about the Lord, spend time with God. You want to pull all the blocks out of the way. Well, I thought I can't be a good Christian because I don't understand all the Bible. I say, no, but I'll help you. I'll help you. Oh, you're right. Yeah, you can't understand it because you don't know much about the Bible. Yeah, you're right. No judgment, we don't help them. Pull those blocks out of the way. Pick them up. Right? Pick them up. Man, I'm walking around and my kids, and I love them, they work with, there's one that especially likes Legos, right? And if I step on a Lego in the dark, which isn't off, two that like Legos, that's right, I do have four children, don't I? I forgot about the fourth. No, I was just kidding, right? You step on a Lego in the dark, and you're like, oh, right. But I see it during the day, and I'll pick it up, because mercy. Move the blocks out of the way for people. Help them to see Jesus more clearly, right? Don't put other people up or down. Just say, here, now look, now go, now try to walk. The Bible says in verse number 14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. Be persuaded by God for the things that you believe when it comes to Christianity. Be persuaded by Him. oh, I read this really good book. And I'm like, oh, praise God for books. Praise God for authors, right? But there's some nut jobs out there, and there's some crazy people in the church. They're nuts. I'm like, oh, my soul. This is why having authorities in church are important. I'm not talking about the pastor. I'm talking about having, like, you have ministries. It checks out. If we had a ministry with this church, right? Okay, this was for example, right? We reinstate the moose meat ministry, right? And we're picking up dead moose, and we're cleaning them, preacher, and we're finding these people, and we're giving them to them, right? So when one of us goes rogue in the moose ministry, and we're found just throwing chunks of meat on people's porches, you know, we're just thinking, what are you doing? This isn't good. We don't like how I'm doing it. This isn't good. This is how we do it. We package it first, and then we give it to them so they can eat it. We don't want wild animals on their porch, and we don't. Oh, okay. And we show them what we're doing, and we help them. But there's a structure to it. There's people out there. I mean, I was telling the guys in Sunday school this morning. There's all these crackpots on the internet telling them Jesus came to them in their sleep and said President Trump was going to be in the White House on January whatever, and everything was going to be okay. I don't roll like that. And I don't say, oh, isn't it wonderful? He must love Jesus. I said, you're nuts. You're crazy. I'm just saying. There's people like that trying to cash in on the moment. I went to Philippines the first time. I get in the car. I'm with Edwin and Tom. We're driving around. Brother Keith, they say the Lord's coming and he's coming tomorrow. There was a J-Dub guy or somebody was, you know, put out this date. The Lord's coming. It's this day and it's going to be tough. I'm like, we took out a bunch of money for it was funny. We took a bunch of money out for billboards in the Philippines and then these typhoons come through and just cut through these billboards, just cut them in half. You know, this guy stands, the Lord's coming. I was like, oh, it's a waste of money, man. They're nuts. Be persuaded of the Lord Jesus. He gave us a book. I don't lay awake at night and be like, is this the night Jesus is going to come and tell me which way to go? No, I'm going to read my Bible and pray and talk to him. It's not going to be some fleeting thing. Be persuaded of God. The Bible says in verse number 14 that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. The rest of this chapter, a lot of it's going to be helping take out these blocks. Thy brother be grieved with thy meat. Thou walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. I remember, Pastor, I don't know. Your messages right before you retired, I remember a lot of them. Like, I just remember them. I don't know what it was. It was just like an imprint time in my... I remember you talking about trying to lead somebody or helping somebody understand Scripture better. I believe it was you. It was either you or you gave an illustration of somebody else. Was going to quit drinking coffee to help somebody because somebody was just... And you were willing to try, or somebody was willing to try, to go to these lengths to help somebody. And that is, again, you're going to not defend yourself, you're going to give an account of yourself, but you're going to help those people. Once you're secure, you're going to help somebody. Just telling somebody, don't worry about it, because it's a big deal to them as a young Christian. There's some people that come out of some things that you've never been involved in, and like you barely bump up against it with them, and it's a super sensitive thing. But to you, you're like, no, it's no big deal. And all I'm saying is, be charitable about those things, right? Think about those things. This, I would not take Pastor Duffett and take him to somewhere where we're going to eat something that he doesn't want to eat, and I know ahead of time that he doesn't want to eat it. That's foolishness. Preacher would be foolish. Wouldn't I not be foolish? That'd be sad. I love preacher. I love them. I was like, why would you go do that? The Bible talks about jesting. Then it talks about foolish jesting. That'd be foolish jesting. That wouldn't be a nice thing to do. Some people think, I'm not going to eat that. I got a coach on our coaching staff. But we have fun because we'll have fun about it. But you don't want to cause somebody to stumble in their walk with the Lord. So to be charitable, help them. Help them. The Bible says in verse number 15, if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, thou walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Don't make a big issue about something that they think something's important. You tell them it's not, or vice versa. And you cause them not to want to follow Christ because of what you said. You just tell them, man, be persuaded of the Lord in this thing. Be persuaded of the Lord. 16. And again, we worry about, well, I sure hope they don't turn into drunkards, and I hope they don't. Look, if you're following Scripture, those things will sort themselves out. God will help them. The Holy Spirit speaks to everybody that way. He doesn't just tell some people, this probably isn't good, right? He's going to work on them all the same. He's going to help them with that. God didn't ask you to be the Holy Ghost. He didn't ask me to be the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I have a hard enough time keeping up with this guy and telling this guy to close his mouth and sit out and be quiet and stop that and don't look at that and this. And I do all those things. I couldn't imagine having to be the Holy Ghost. It's unbelievable. Don't want to be. Don't ever want to be. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, 17 says. Okay, 16, let not your good be evil spoken of. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It says it's righteousness and peace. We'll be there pretty soon there in Matthew 5 on Sunday morning. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're a mess. Part of our, we're not charitable in the streets in our country. There's a lot that goes into that. Reason we feel like frustrated people. But we're not charitable. People will give so their tax number looks right, but couldn't name a single person that was helped.
Yes, that's right.
And it's like, well, I philanthropic is one of the descriptions given for our 46th president right now. He's philanthropic. I think I'm pronouncing that right. He's known for giving. Well, he's known for receiving right now. I mean, that's what we see him as. We are not charitable. In our streets, we're not charitable to people. Everything is. There's a group. I can't remember if they're in New York. What they're raising funds to help these some small businesses out that are just tanking, right? I mean, talk about behind the ball a little bit, Mr. Governor of New York, right? And we'll finally say, well, probably should do something about that. I praise God. None of us were nursing home patients, older folks there. Well, who cares? They're in a hospital, nursing home. They're dead now. It's like, oh, my soul. Sir, that trickles on down. If you do everything you could saying, let's help people, then we'd start helping people. We'd start taking these taking people out of the boxes and doing different things and doing things that make sense, helping people. And now it's like, oh, I can't do that. I get the bid. Don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. When we find out that, look, after a while, because we're all ignorant, back in March, we were, we looked at it, it's like, we really don't know, but it didn't take long to figure it out. Then a bunch of people said, wonder if they want to use this for a little bit of control. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Tell you what to do. Corner you, do these things. And I was like, well, I can't help you because the rules say, the rules say. Well, we played the game for a little while, right? We didn't have church for a little while. But then we looked and said, look, from the neck up, there's going to be a mess that goes on. And now the liberals are even saying, look at all the problems we're causing. Look at all the people that are messed up because they've been isolated. We already live isolated now, and now they want you to stay isolated. It's not helping, right? They need to help people. They need to be charitable. They need to think about others. The Bible says in verse number 18, he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. If you put glorifying God at the top, like we talked about this morning, there's going to be some grief that you'd even think about serving God, or that you'd bring up God, or that you would talk about God, or you would talk about godly things, or you would talk about things. I mean, this the life issue in America is unbelievable, but it's super important that we not back off at all and that we continue to pray that all of legislation gets reversed. That everybody I listened to Miss Gnomes, South Dakota governor. Is it Nelms or Gnomes? Gnomes. Putting legislation in. Look, if a child is diagnosed to potentially have Down syndrome, that child's going to be born. And you're not gonna be able to go and just have an abortion because it looks like some of those tests aren't right. It's crazy, and it doesn't matter. We understand that. We get that. We got to stand up for those things. But I'm saying you do that and say there's always going to be that crowd saying, "Oh no, it's right. It's not pro-choice. It's pro what the other side wants." And they say, "Well, it doesn't work for us, and it doesn't work." I mean, to say that genocide is practiced in other parts of the world like China, it's true. When somebody has a baby, I'll get no. That's what it is. We're trying to make it fit. We're trying to control life. God's the giver of life. I'm not going to control God. The Bible says in verse number 19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace." Which makes for peace. You try to be peaceable and don't roll over, but don't be ugly. Go to make for peace. Things wherewith one may edify another, right? Edification, improvement and progress of the mind. Thanks for that paper you gave me this morning. I read that this afternoon, a few minutes. Yeah. And controlling thinking. Thought police, the idea of people that say, "Well, nope, wrong thought, don't think that. You're thinking about freedom again. That's dangerous." You imagine living in a country where you couldn't think? It's like, no, that's wrong thought. We know what you think. The cameras that are overseas in places like Beijing and stuff, where you can't facial recognition everywhere, right? This person, you know. Social scores, and the missionaries have told us about that, right? If your life, they look at what you buy. And for example, you know, part of it, you look at, oh, this makes sense, right? You're buying liquor, you're buying this, and you're not taking care of your family, you get a low social score. So you get a low social score, you're not allowed to do certain things, like, say, go on a trip, or you may lose your job, or you may not get a promotion, whatever. So they look and say, oh, your social score. But it could go the other way. Oh, you're caught in an underground church. There's a 0 out of 10 or whatever. You get this low social score. But you're controlled. Not able to think. The Bible says we're to edify. That's to help improve somebody's thinking. What do you think we want them to think about? What God wants. We show them the Word of God. You think about this. That'll change your life. Yeah, it's dangerous. Right? They tried to control Christ. They tried to take him and throw him off the cliff. So he walked through the midst. Wasn't time yet. They did put him on the cross. Yes, he did lay down his life for us. Needed to be done. Did those things. You can't control him. Tried to keep him in a hole. Couldn't control him. Put a big rock in front of it. Couldn't control him. Put the Roman soldiers there and a seal over the grave and couldn't keep him where they wanted him to be. He's not meant to be kept like that. He's meant to be kept in here. Edify. It'll change our thinking. Near in the end tonight, the Bible says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace." 20. Meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure. But if it is evil for that man who eateth with offense, it's good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. The things that we do, be mindful. Be mindful of who you're around when you do these, as you live in life. You're young people. When you do something, just explain to them why you do the things you do, or why how you think about things. It's helpful for me. I'll ask, I'll say, "Well, why?" And again, now, young people, you can always ask. You can probably always ask this question. Don't ask it in a judging way. "Well, why are you doing that?" Right? Don't ask it like that. Say, "Hey, why do we do this?" It's good to know. Well, why do we? You know, all kinds of examples. You may have family things that you do. Why do we do this? Well, we do it because of this and this and this, and this is what we've done. There are some things that you say, "Hey, could we try this?" We've at our house, every once in a while, you know, Mrs. Garner, she's the menu setter. But it's fun. The kids like to say, "Hey, what would you like to eat? What's your favorite things?" You know, we got some, "I'd like this and this and that." "All right, slow down, right here, go ahead, you know." And get this list and they get to pick. "Oh, I feel great. This is exciting." Well, why do we have this tonight? Your brother asked to have it for dinner. Or hey, your sister wanted to have it tonight. "Oh, wonderful. This is great. It's good." We don't want to cause people to stumble. We don't want to cause people to fall. They don't want to offend, right? Or lead somebody to Christ. Shouldn't have to do it in an offensive way. Shouldn't have to. You love people. Even cranky, old, nasty, crotchety, old, just... I mean, it's not cool to go up and just hug a stranger, right? But you can with your eyes. And you can smile, and you can just be kind to them. And it just do your own little social experiment. It's hard. When people smile at me, I smile back. I like to be the smiler. I like going in and smile at people, right? Oh, memes are so funny. I'm so glad memes are in my life. They're hilarious. I could make memes, but anyways, as a Fauci today, wearing the box. Just wear the whole box, you know, because people are talking about double mask and triple mask. The man's wearing the whole box with straps around his ears. I said, oh, I love it. It's great. I'd even try to smile at the mask people, you know, and just, you know, driving down the road with their mask on, just them and their dog, you know. It's like, PETA, that's got to be offensive to the dog. I mean, there's something, help this situation out, you know. It's just his dog in there, but anyhow. We don't have to be cruel. I mean, we can be kind to somebody. We can look for peace. It's hard to do at times. It is. Look for peace. Look for grace. Hast thou faith? Verse 22 says. Right? Hast thou faith? Hast thou faith that if you do this thing, God's going to look down and be like, that's good. Hast thou faith that if you let God have control and you don't defend yourself and the worm hill and all that stuff, that it's going to turn out for God's glory? Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Last thing you want to do is you do something, you don't know why you're doing it, and you condemn yourself for doing it. And you're like, why did I do that? Have purpose in life. Get your direction from the Lord. Walk with the Lord and figure out what he would have you to do. And that way when you're doing these things, it's like, this is exciting. God wants me to do this. You know who's on the top of the world right now? Madison Finch, right? She's probably on top of the world. I said, you know, after you get saved, it's going to be probably like a few weeks after you figure out where you're going to go and all stuff. It's just going to be like revving the engine. Can't wait to get there. Excited. A lot of bumps in the road and things that are going to, you know, test her and these things. But man, you got some direction. It's exciting. Get it and go. Verse 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. Because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. See, that goes back to the eating example. It could be the wearing example. It could be a lot of things. How you walk. I'm doing it, and I'm not trusting God. And God says, you need to trust me. Hast thou faith? Hast thou faith? All the things in your life, all these areas, you want to give those things to God. Give them to the Lord. Let them have them, no matter what it is. Say, God, I want you to lead in this area. I want you to be the one that's in charge of this area. We want to do this thing the way you'd have it to be done. Now, there's been lots of people that have gone before you and done the things that you have to do, but you're not the one that has done them, right? You're not the one that's raised the kids yet, or you have, or you're not the one that has seen them graduate and leave the house and go to college, but others have, but you haven't yet, and you got to have faith in that thing, and you got to trust in that thing. And your job and your walk and those things, you have to do that. And young people, you're making strides all the time. All the time. You're going to change grade levels here in not too long. Some of you are going to bump up from one school to the next. That's hard. Those transitions are hard at times. And who knows? They think, well, I don't know. You can do it. You can do it with the Lord. You can do it. Get with the Lord. Say, Lord, help me. Help me to do this thing. And help me not to put blocks in other people's way. Last thing I want to do is discourage somebody from following Christ. And I don't want to. And I don't want to say, well, if you want to follow the Lord, you got to do it like I did. No, no. You need to read this Bible and let God take care of the rest. God will help you. He'll help you. And it'll help a whole lot. I mean, if everybody, we talk about it when we have couples retreat coming up. If the husband is chasing God and the wife is chasing God, right, and God's here and we're both getting close to God, what happens to our relationship? Does it get closer? Do we get closer to each other? Does it fall apart? No, it gets closer. But if we got one chasing God and the other one's not, or if we have the parents chasing God and the children aren't, right, or if nobody's chasing God, where do we sit? Right? Our relationship's not what it could be. Fellowship's not what it's good. But we want to help people get closer to God. Heaven's coming. Christ is coming. It's the real deal, right? Wake up, and it's the only thing that's more exciting now is just like stuff's happening faster. So you get up and look. It's like, all right, what craziness do we got for this week? Wow, this is amazing. What's going to happen in Israel over the next couple of months, okay? Whoa, who knows? But it's exciting. The Lord's coming, right? Catch yourself looking at the clouds, right? It's the clouds of these days, right? Those clear days you don't have to look up. No, I'm just kidding. There's got to be clouds, preacher. Yeah, I know. Let's dance tonight. Let's help people as they walk. We're going to sing our song of invitation tonight. 97, Brother Joe. 97. I need thee every hour.